This podcast is part of the 76ers Podcast Network.
Search 76ers Insiders wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back, everybody, to the 76ers Insiders Podcast. I'm Lauren Rosen here with Matt Murphy on the heels of Nick Nurse's introductory presser and our time with him on his first day as the head coach of the 76ers. Matt Murphy, what's going on?
Lauren Rosen, a little off-season podcasting here. New coaching hire. It was good to be back in the facility. Heard from Daryl Morey, Josh Harris, and of course, the man of the hour, Nick Nurse, the 2019 championship-winning coach with Toronto, the 2020 NBA Coach of the Year. Something Daryl Morey talked about was his winning at all different levels and stages of basketball. He's a, by my count, and I think Daryl's too, a five-time champion at three different levels. Carroll, Iowa native, and you got the chance to have a one-on-one conversation with him, which everyone out there will hear during this episode of 76ers Insiders. Some really good stuff in there. Obviously, you guys went pretty in-depth on some things, but just from a surface level, it was good to be back. The energy was good surrounding that day.
And it's interesting, Matt, there's been a lot of continuity with this roster, and I found myself sort of reflecting about how almost rare it is to speak to someone new and someone that I didn't know and haven't had experience sitting down one-on-one with. So cool to sort of strip it down, do the research, get the background, and think about from Nick Nurse's perspective over the last 10 years, of course, with the Toronto Raptors, what it's been like to watch this Sixers team very up close, very personal, and now to sort of flip everything that he already knows about this team on its head and activate the things that he was working to limit over the last 10 years. He called what the Sixers and Raptors have shared a bit of a rivalry. And I think if you ask players on this team, Joel Embiid, Tyrese Maxey have both talked about the fact that they feel some personal beef with the Toronto Raptors just based on playoff series, seeing them in the preseason, playing mini series with them in the regular season. It does feel like, while of course we play the Raptors the maximum amount of times you can play any team, and you've probably seen them about the same amount of times as you've seen the Boston Celtics or the Miami Heat over the last few years, there is something personal there. And so now to have all of that experience that both teams have shared on the same side, I'm looking forward to it. It sounds like Nick is looking forward to it, and I really enjoyed our conversation.
When you think about the handful of years he spent as an assistant coach in Toronto and then another handful as the head coach, and you talk about the scheduling, there is a familiarity there, even from our seat. So I can't imagine how heightened that is for people who are game planning against one another, whether it's members of the coaching staff or in this case, the players that we've talked about who are part of those game plans. And it feels like we all know Nick Nurse a little bit because of the last decade or so. One thing I wanted to touch on before we get to your interview is him talking about Tyrese Maxey's speed, because this is just not something he's talked about on his first day as the Sixers coach. It dates back his respect for Tyrese Maxey as a player and how fast Maxey is.
You saw me behind the scenes for a couple days trying to dig up a specific quote that Nick Nurse spoke to describe Tyrese Maxey. I thought it was in the playoffs, but I wasn't positive, and I knew it was pretty effusive. Of course, like in the NBA, it's rather rare to hear head coaches praise opposing players with the amount of, I don't know, enthusiasm, I guess, that Nick Nurse shared in this quote about Tyrese. So I ended up finding it. It was an April 25th, 2022 quote from during that series between the Sixers and the Raptors last season's opening round of the playoffs. Tyrese had just scored 38 points, his playoff career high, against the Toronto Raptors. I found the quote. I read it to Nick Nurse. And if you guys want to hear the rest of the conversation, stick around for the next 10 minutes or so, because here it is. Nick Nurse, welcome to Philadelphia. We are very excited to have you. You said upstairs in your intro presser that you believe this is a team that could play tonight in the NBA Finals. So when you made the decision to come here, what are those factors about this team that makes you believe they could still be playing at this point in the season?
Yeah, well, firsthand close-up look of playing against them, for sure. I think that the quality of the roster, the combination of Daryl and Elton, and I'd known Daryl for a long time, and their track record for putting a roster together, ownership is second to none, you know, as I did my research and all those things. But mainly I think it's a chance to try and win it all. I mean, that's what coaches are do. We get up every day trying to figure out how to get there to the end and be playing tonight, right? So excited. Thanks
Joel Embiid says that all the time, right? Yep. That's the ultimate goal is to win it all. Mm-hmm. Joel is someone that you, as an opposing coach, perhaps did maybe the best job in the league of limiting over the years. How do you even go about conceptualizing trying to now activate what you were once trying to limit when it comes to Joel?
Yeah, I mean, first of all, like a lot of those things that we did, throwing everything in the kitchen sink at him, was done out of necessity, really. I mean, we were just trying to stop a really, really, really great player. And we would do something and he'd figure it out. We'd have to do another thing. And so the list got pretty long in the end. And it kept, you know, I think, again, to his credit, he kept figuring out things just scheme-wise to combat what we were doing. And then he started figuring out things skill-wise from year to year, too. So I'm glad I don't have to do that anymore and play against him, because it is difficult. And it is nice to have a player with that skill set and mindset. I think he's a real competitor and all those kind of things. And I think he's hungry. That was another reason I took the job. I think this team's hungry. Yeah.
It's a team that had some iconic battles with the Raptors during your time there, for better and for worse. Mm-hmm. We think about Kawhi's shot. We think about Joel's game winner in the playoffs last season.
Yep.
When you think about the times that you played against this team, either those memories, or are there any sleeper memories that come up for you when you think about what it was like to face the Sixers?
First of all, I winced when you talked about his fadeaway. That seemed to bother me more than the one that went in. That's coaching for you, first of all. But just like I think in the 18-19 series, again, like once we got into it, maybe after game three, I just kind of remember taking the team into the locker room at the arena. We were practicing, it was here in town for game four, and just the list of like issues that we had, you know, like there's some really good players. We don't need to go through them all, but there was so many things we had to do for each guy, you know, starting at the top, obviously. And then there was things that we needed to do better offensively. And there was a pocket of things that we had to do just effort and energy wise. And I just kind of remember that being like, whew, that's a lot. And that we had to do, because that was a very, very good team and an unbelievable series.
An unbelievable series, yeah. Indeed. You mentioned the guys that you had to work through. Tyrese Maxey wasn't one of them.
Yeah.
But last year's playoffs in 2022, you had some effusive praise for Tyrese. You said he's the fastest guy out there by a mile. He's super fast. With those type of guys, that's usually their whole game. And it's not with him. He's also a great shooter with really great touch.
Yeah.
A year later, he became a top five most efficient shooter in the NBA. He's gotten better. He's only 22. So what excites you about Tyrese today?
The getting better part. Like, that's a good synopsis what I said there. So it must have been fresh after he torched us for about 36 or 38 points 38. Or something. So, yeah. So, I mean, it was like, you know, it's kind of almost like the reverse of, like, the guy who was bigger than everybody growing up and just, you know, dominated at the basket. Like the little fast guys, even though he's not that little, but the fast guys just can use their speed to produce so much that they don't develop maybe other parts of their game or a well-rounded game. But I was just amazed at how like good a shooter he became. And then, you know, again, like he laid in at the front of the rim. Well, we had to do a lot of things to try to get there, and he just kept, you know, the touch was part. He just kept going further and further away and still making them. And it was just like, holy smokes, you know, what are we going to do here? And we really didn't figure out what to do very, very well. So, but the thing I like about him is good dude, right? Hard worker, loves the game, wants to get better, and has a ton of God-given ability, right? That's a pretty good combination of a guy that's going to impact the team. Yeah.
Looking back on your career, we'll start somewhat recent and then get a little bit further back. But you've worked with Daryl Morey before.
Yeah.
So can you tell us sort of the nature of your relationship when you were, for those that don't know, the head coach of the Rio Grande Valley Vipers when he was in Houston, what your dynamic was like then, and then what it's been like to stay in touch and reunite now?
Yeah, so I kind of went there as a reason to try to develop myself as a coach. They were heavy analytics before analytics was even fashionable yet. And so I kind of wanted to get in there and learn some of those things. when I interviewed for the job down there, he was like, this is like going to be a total laboratory for you to try things. And that really interested me, again, to just try and improve. And that's not that easy to do. You need backing to kind of like say we're going to do this, and then everybody be like, what? And they say, no, try it, you know, just see what happens, you know, or whatever. So that was good. And I just, there was a lot of just collaboration away from that. Even I just remember, like, when the season would be over in Rio Grande, which is down there along the Mexican border, I'd go back to Houston, and we'd sit in there all day watching basketball prospects or whatever, and just talking the game and how to do things, you know, like, is there a better way to do things, and or how good is this player, or how does he fit, you know? So a lot of time together. Yeah.
A couple of decades prior to that experience with Daryl, you spent time internationally, mm-hmm. you coached in college, you've had a plethora of stops, yeah. but it's been a while since you've had to start fresh mm-hmm. after 10 years in Toronto, mm-hmm. right? So what can you take from those experiences starting over and over again through your youth of coaching into this experience starting over today?
Yeah, so like just kind of like chronologically, like one thing I do know is that the first 6 months of taking a new job in the NBA is really something. It is really a whirlwind of intensity that I didn't really know when I got the Raptors job. So I was, you know, I understand, like, okay, here we go. Like, 6 months is going to be something. So that is a good experience to have been through. And just like all the other stops, I don't even know if this is your question or not, but I'm just was like, was always just trying to learn stuff and try stuff and get put in so many situations of like, you know, boxing one or only having six players available for a game or having a great team and all of them getting called up one day to the NBA and the D League and having to teach really fast, you know, all those kind of things just add to an experience, you know, and a growth experience. But you know, like mostly it's how can you connect the team? How can you get them to play a little bit harder, right? Like just continually trying to experiment with how that can work. And I think that's really like two really huge things of winning basketball.
Away from the court, or mm-hmm. I guess adjacent to the court, mm-hmm. I'm told that you travel with musical instruments.
I used to.
But you don't anymore.
Well, we're going to think about that.
You can bring them along with us.
I used to, for sure. I don't know why we're going to do that going forward, but go ahead with your sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt.
I'm curious where that passion came from, how yep. important it is to balance basketball yep. with life, yep. and what music sort of means to you.
Yeah, so just, you know, my mother's side of the family was really musical. I'm the youngest of nine kids, and we all had to kind of try to do something with music other than just play sports. It was a struggle for most of us because we really played a lot of sports. So, and just kind of now for me, it is total like my zone place, I guess. Play a little bit, I'll listen, whatever it is. We use it at practice to create energy. And I try to learn. It's kind of a stretching like of create, you know, your mind so you can maybe hopefully some of that stuff gets stretched to be creative in my day job, right? Day, night, whatever job this is. Right?
Awesome. Yep. That's awesome. And yep. hopefully you'll get embedded in the Philly music scene because there's
oh,
a good
for
one.
Sure. Can't wait.
Last question. Yep. I promise.
It's okay.
You said in your intro presser that you don't vibrate in the frequency of the past. Mm-hmm. Clearly you've learned a lot from your past. Mm-hmm. Understanding that we're not vibrating in that frequency, though, what mm-hmm. do you think the future looks like for this Sixers team? What do you hope the future looks like while you're here?
Well, I really kind of mean that, like, incredible tradition here, but it doesn't really have to do with what we're trying to accomplish next year, right? Good or bad, right? There's a lot of great tradition here, and then we're in this little second round thing that everybody wants to talk about. It doesn't even like enter my mind, right? Like I'm just trying to figure out how we can get this team to play its best basketball when it really matters. I don't think last year, or the year before, 10 years before, 20 years has anything to do with that.
Awesome. Well, we look forward to okay. watching that future with you.
Thanks
thank you
a
for
lot.
Your time.
Yep, you got it. Anytime. Awesome.
Appreciate it.
All right. Thank you.
Thanks, of course, to Nick Nurse for sitting down with us on his first day in the facility. It was awesome to just see the facility through his eyes on his first day. There was a lot of energy in the building, a lot of positivity around the new head coach, and just awesome to get to know him a little better. He was super candid, super comfortable, and I really enjoyed the conversation for sure.
The part about him learning on the first 6 months of a new job, particularly a new MBA job, is really interesting. And like the first day and the first week, I can't even imagine. He's done a ton of interviews. I'm glad that we got your unique interview in the mix here. A lot of people have seen some clips and seen the video on the Sixers YouTube channel, but for our podcast network listeners, maybe people from the Twitter Spaces community, people who are hearing it in audio form, it's just one of many media hits that he has done. I know it comes with the territory, and I'm not feeling bad for him in any sort of way, but in our limited exposure to him, he was very personable to everyone, and he met a lot of people. I've been telling everybody I'm reading Nick Nurse's book, Rapture. I'm like halfway through, so I have to finish it because I'm at the part where he becomes the Toronto Raptors head coach. But some of my takeaways about maybe who he is as a person or some insight into his personality that we saw on display when he was meeting everyone is that he's this lifelong learner. And before the conversation there, I mentioned his different coaching stops. He's been a lot of different places, multiple countries, multiple leagues, multiple teams. Something that I think is interesting is how he's worked to develop as a communicator in this job. So quick fact is that he has his PhD from Concordia University, and he's very interested in how people learn and kind of developing these relationships. So I'm interested to see how that goes with the players on the team, because he's someone who's always striving to get better, not just with X's and O's. It's well documented that he's a very smart basketball coach, but I think over his career, he's really worked to become a well-rounded basketball coach and leader.
And has experience, of course. I liked hearing about his relationship with Daryl Morey, the way that the two of them used the Rio Grande Valley Vipers as...
I'm talking G League now?
Of course. As an opportunity to not necessarily pilot and like brand new concepts in the NBA, but try new things and see what works, see what doesn't. And then it's been cool to see him sort of apply a lot of those concepts he talked about, Daryl giving him the freedom to experiment with in the G League as head coach of the Raptors. And of course, you follow that whole world a lot closer than I do. But you've shared with me a lot of different things about what his reputation was like in the G League, the lasting impact he's had there. So for you to have followed him through that phase and this phase, what do you make of that part of his experience as he joins the 76ers?
I think it really helps, particularly in the regular season. So on the one hand, you have his playoff winning percentage being very high at 61%. But when you're talking about the grind of an NBA regular season, the lineup can look different at times. And in the G League, the lineup always looks different. So he's learned how to have his system in place so that anyone can do it and execute it. And you can kind of mix and match different pieces in what is a long season. And then something I've heard for years in the G League from various coaches and executives is their goal is to win, but another is to have the group, as many players as possible, leave the season in a better situation than they were when they came in. And that, I think, originates with Nick Nurse when he was a G League coach. He wanted to elevate guys to the NBA or even to better teams in Europe or anywhere overseas. And at the NBA level, I think it still applies. I think you can still help guys improve their individual careers, win individual awards, and have it lead into team success. So at first glance, it might not appear that that G League principle of the two different things, winning and better situations, applies directly, but I think it does.
Well, he's talked about it on some other shows. Shout out to former Sixer JJ Redick and the Old Man and the Three. But something that stood out to me when he talks about sort of what his initiatives are as a head coach, it's of course to win, but it's also the words he used is to raise the market value of each player on the team. And of course, Nick Nurse, someone who has a reputation for playing maybe shorter rotations or higher minute loads for similar guys, also has a reputation for growing young guys into really useful NBA players. And I loved hearing him talk about the way that Joel Embiid's market value is obviously as high as it can get for an NBA player right now. Tyrese Maxey approaching that same sort of caliber, but there are a lot of younger players on this team whose values can still rise, and cool to imagine what it's going to be like to have Nick Nurse working with Jaden Springer, working perhaps with returning free agents or new Sixers that we don't even know yet. I'm looking forward to seeing how he applies that principle to this roster and, of course, growing roster as the offseason continues.
One thing we know for sure is that he is going to do the work when he knows who he has at his disposal in order to maximize what the lineups can do on both ends of the floor. One thing we do not know for sure is if he will bring his guitar on the road with him. He sort of downplayed the music side of his background. I feel like that's one of those things where maybe he's gotten asked about it and he doesn't want to make his whole
it's not his thing whole thing
about
sure
being
yeah
music, but he's interested in music, piano, guitar. He may or may not be traveling with a musical instrument this coming season, so we'll have to report back on that.
Interested in what it was like to be the youngest of nine kids as well. I would imagine as a coach, and of course in this situation it wasn't necessarily the case at the beginning of his coaching career. He's been coaching since he was 22, 23 years old, but at this phase he is the oldest of the players on the team. But I wonder what it was like growing up in that type of environment and how team building and group cooperation, collective cooperation, he might have had a, let's say, very, very significant leg up on other people when it comes to figuring out how to work with different personalities and coexist with different personalities. So, of course, looking forward to seeing how that might shine through as we watch him closer.
As Daryl Morey said, it's one step. The head coach position being filled is one step to what the Sixers organization hopes is many steps that eventually leads to an NBA championship, another NBA championship for this storied franchise. But it's a good step. It's an exciting step. And it's good to jump back on here and talk about some fresh 76ers news with you.
Always, of course. Great to be back on the 76ers Insiders podcast. More content to come as the offseason goes along. Matt Murphy and I already looking forward to NBA Summer League, which is just around the corner. So we appreciate you as always. Matt, thank you so much.
Thank you. We'll be back for it. Thank you, everybody, for listening.